This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I got a question from a sister, and I thought I would share my answer with you so that you could perhaps also benefit or perhaps comment and let me know what you think about this issue. So a sister, she contacted me and she was mentioning that, you know, she's getting older and she hasn't found a spouse yet, a suitable spouse. And she's thinking, you know, whether she should, in her words, lower her standards in terms of the characteristics and, you know, like the must-haves that she had on her list when it came to finding a spouse. And she says that, you know, some of her friends are kind of discouraging her from doing that because they're saying, you know, if you lower your standards, you probably marry somebody who you'll regret marrying. So there's a few things in that. The first thing that I would say is, look, you know, in life, there are so many things that we think are good for us, right? You know, we might have had a particular career path that we had in mind, or we might have had a particular place that we wanted to live in, or we might have had our heart set on a particular path in life. And then later on, we find out that, you know, Allah hadn't decreed that for us. He decreed something else for us. And although it wouldn't have been the thing that we naturally would have chosen, right, or have been inclined to, when we look back, we think, alhamdulillah, that was good for me. You know, that thing was actually beneficial. And there were things that that were like blind spots for me, right, that I didn't realize that were good for me, right, or things, characteristics or things that I valued that were actually not that important. And so I think one of the things that we're reminded of in life in general is that Allah knows and we don't know. You know, Allah knows what is best for us and we don't know what is the best thing for us. Obviously, we do our best. We, in light of the Quran and Sunnah and also, you know, our own inclinations and preferences when it comes to marriage, we will have a list of ideals, right? But not all of those characteristics and not all of those kind of must-haves or so-called must-haves are actually as important as each other, right? So, for example, you know, a person having good akhlaq, right? Having a good personality, a good demeanor, that could be something that is more important than, for example, whether they are 6 foot tall, right? that's just a little example, but you know, you might have had your heart set on marrying somebody 6 foot tall, you know, tall, dark and handsome and all that. But you know, you haven't found a person like that who has good character. And obviously good character is gonna be something that's gonna be more important. Not that the other characteristics, the physical characteristics, are not important. Of course, there is an element of importance in those things, you know, because obviously marriage is also about satisfying a person's desire for companionship and intimacy. So those aspects are important as well. However, in the grand scheme of things, there are certain things that are more important than others, right? So what I would do if I was in that situation, or I would recommend that sisters in that situation, or even brothers do, is literally get a piece of paper out and sure, write that list, you know, write that list of the things that you really want your spouse to have, the characteristics in the spouse that you're looking for. But I would divide that list into a number of columns, right? I would have the things that are, you know, the uncompromisables, right? the things that are really non-negotiable. And then I would have the things that actually they might be my ideal, but there could be room for some maneuver there. And then I would have a column of, you know, the absolute nice to haves, you know, the really either way is not gonna be really impactful on your decision, but it would be really nice if your spouse had those, that characteristic or that description about them. So if you divide your list into three columns like that, that way when you do meet somebody for marriage, when you're seeing prospective people, then you can actually assess, you know, how many of the must-haves or the non-negotiables does that person have? How many of the kind of negotiable characteristics does that person have? And how many of the other characteristics does that person have? And if you were to kind of take the long view and broad view, right? If you were to look at the complete package when it comes to marriage, when it comes to marrying somebody, you know, so you're taking into account the family situation, the personality, the, of course, aspects of the financial aspect, the physical attraction. If you take all of those things into account, rather than focusing on only one or the other, then inshallah, you'll be able to make a more informed decision. And also, what will be clear in front of you is how many of the must-have characteristics that person has and how many of the negotiable ones they have and how many of the bonus type characteristics they have. And really, when you look at the whole package of a prospective spouse with that entire kind of broad view, it's a much better way of helping you make a decision. Something else to bear in mind is that not all that glitters is gold, right? All that glitters is not gold. So when you go and see somebody for marriage and, you know, they sound perfect on paper, they tick all the boxes and, you know, everything seems perfect and excellent and just as you wanted, but you're not so sure about their personality, not so sure about their demeanor. Believe me, somebody who you feel very, very physically attracted to and you think is going to be just great to be married to can very quickly become somebody that you despise, quite frankly, if they have bad character. So it's really important to think about the characteristics that you consider to be your must-haves. Some ideas for must-haves, obviously everyone is going to be different. It's a very personal thing. Some ideas that I would say should be in your must-haves is, first of all, what kind of relationship does that person have with Allah, right? Does that person pray their daily prayers? Do they keep the five pillars? That's really important. It might not seem important. Sometimes some sisters think, you know, hey, you know, you'll get more religious later, right? That's quite a dangerous thing to think because, you know, if you can't fix up in your relationship with the most significant being in your life, which is Allah, why would you commit and fix up in your other relationships? You know, I think it's really important to make that probably the number one must have, right? That the person has committed themselves to Allah in that way, at least to the five pillars of Islam. Demeanor and temperament are quite important, you know, the person's character and general demeanor. Are they an easygoing person? Are they the sort of person who you can get along with? And I know it's sometimes hard to tell that, you know, from just meeting them a few times. So I would really recommend that you get your wali, the person who is your guardian, who is responsible for your affairs in terms of helping you to get married. I would really suggest that, you know, that person gets in touch with some people who've either travelled or lived with or, you know, spent a significant amount of time or worked with your prospective spouse. And literally, just like when you go to apply for a job, they look for references and they write to the people who you give as references, and they literally ask them, you know, all about you. I would do the same. You know, I would ask your wali at least to do the same, because this is even more significant than getting a job, right? Another point that I wanted to make is I would really encourage brothers and sisters, when they're considering somebody for marriage, to be willing to consider as many people as possible, in the sense that, you know, I know a lot of sisters, for example, who right at the first stage will kind of write somebody off, right? Because on paper, in some sort of, you know, profile or something of that brother, of that prospective spouse, the person doesn't tick all the boxes, right? So they will put off meeting the person because they think, well, you know, he doesn't fulfill these characteristics, so it's a non-starter. Now, I would discourage people from doing that, because, subhanAllah, you know, marriage and finding a prospective spouse is about more than a profile, you know. And so many times there's somebody on paper that might not sound like the ideal spouse, right? But when you meet that person, there's a chemistry there, you know. It's something that you can't explain. It's not something that you can't quantify or even articulate. But there's something there that really makes certain characteristics that you might have thought were important that that person doesn't have. It makes you able to overlook those because of the fact that you've got that kind of connection and chemistry, or, you know, that you've realized that this person is from a certain type of family that you really like, and, you know, they have a certain personality. And obviously personality is not something you can really sense on paper. You know, sometimes you can, but not really. You've got to meet somebody before you can make a decision about that. And so many times I know people who've on paper haven't sounded like they are a match, but when they actually meet, okay, so when they have a few characteristics that seem to be bringing them together, and then they're actually willing to just meet, I found that, mashallah, you know, they realize that the other aspects that were quite important to them, for example, with sisters, you know, sisters who maybe they didn't want to move out of their city, they didn't want to move to another city, or they didn't want they wanted somebody who has a particular type of job or a particular income. They've been willing to overlook that because they can see that the person has the sort of personality and, you know, potential that satisfies them, right? And I don't think we should look at some kind of negotiation and some kind of compromise as a bad thing. Because in fact, anyone who goes into marriage thinking that there's no compromise is going to be sorely disappointed. Anytime you build a relationship with another person, there is a level of negotiation that takes place and a level of compromise that sometimes needs to happen. And that compromise isn't a bad thing, because overall, you're the winner, right? If you're able to compromise, if you're able to accommodate different types of people and different types of personalities, then you're the winner, right? It's not about the world adjusting itself for you. It's not about bending the world to your bidding, right? It's about you realizing that when you go into any relationship or any new project even, you know, there is going to be challenge. There's going to be some struggle, right? Don't be scared of the struggle. Expect the struggle and develop the characteristics and develop the qualities and habits that are necessary for you to face that struggle, right? I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom. I'm not saying that, you know, everything is all about struggle. Obviously, like, when it comes to marriage, you want it to be a place of sakina. You want it to be a place of tranquility. But what I'm saying is that even in the best marriages, right, and when you see people who've had a lifelong marriage, don't think that it was all plain sailing. You know, it wasn't all plain sailing. They struggled. There would have been periods where they struggled. There may have even been periods where they thought they wouldn't make it, right? But it's not that, you know, they were two perfect people who just clicked and everything was, you know, perfect. No, it's usually that they fought for their marriage. They fought to keep their marriage alive. So once you've done your columns and you've made your list of must-haves, nice-to-haves and bonus qualities, and you've really, like, you know, weighed it all up, you've prayed your istikhara, once you've kind of really decided, you know, whether you like this person or not, whether you're seriously considering them or not, you know, pray that istikhara. And then I would say, if he's an 8 out of 10 and above, you know, go for it. I heard one of our senior shuyukh in London, he was addressing a group of sisters, and they were kind of in their 20s and really into their studies and stuff, and which was great. And he was encouraging them. But one of the things he was saying to them is, you know, sisters, don't delay getting married. And he said, don't delay getting married, and please make getting married one of your priorities. Because, you know, unfortunately, in Britain, and I'm sure it's happening in many other places as well, we're seeing a trend where more and more sisters are finding it very difficult to find a spouse. And often they did have suitors and people approaching them for marriage when they were younger, but, you know, as they get older, you know, those proposals and things get a bit more, you know, few and far between. So I think one of the advices that the sheikh was giving the sisters, he was actually saying, if he's a 6 out of 10, you know, really seriously consider him. Because I think one of the things that he was saying was that having the perfect person, you know, on paper or at the beginning who seems the perfect person, is not the key to a long and successful, a lifelong and successful marriage, right? It's actually more about your own mindset when you're going in, and your own willingness to make it work. So those are just some of my thoughts on the topic. If you have some thoughts, do share them with me through the various channels that you can reach me by, either commenting if there's a comment section below this audio or video, by reaching out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Fatima Barakatullah. I look forward to hearing from you. May Allah help you in your search. May Allah help all of our brothers and sisters who are looking to, you know, protect their chastity and to find marital bliss. May Allah help all of them. Ameen thumma ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Every day is a good day.